A wise person begins as a simpleton who simply knows nothing. You see, here's the way it works. When we are born, we all start out as a simpleton, knowing nothing, and then by design, the simpleton has to move one way or the other, and that depends upon knowledge that's given to them, education that's given to them, and those kinds of things. And so a person is simply not going to remain the simpleton. They are going to move one way or the other. And what they're going to do is they're going to move toward the fool, or they're going to move toward the wise person. Now, without a doubt, we all know which direction we would want to be going, and that's the direction of the wise person. A wise person begins as a simpleton who knows nothing. To become a wise person, which is what we all want to be, not implying that we're not, I'm just saying we want to be wise. And to become a wise person, one must move from the state of ignorance to the state of knowledge. From being a simpleton to that of being a wise person. A wise person may know many of the same facts that a fool or a scorner would know. But the wise person is going to have a different attitude and a different approach and a different association with those same facts. For example, an illustration would be a wise person and the fool both may know that drinking too much wine will make one drunk. The fool will use that knowledge to do what? To get drunk. Whereas on the other hand, the wise person is going to use that same knowledge to avoid too much drink, too much wine, to avoid becoming drunk. The point of the illustration that I just used is that wisdom is not just simply having the facts, the knowledge of the facts, or having the understanding of even cause and effect relationships. Wisdom is more. It isn't just having knowledge. It isn't just having information. It's more than that. Wisdom is using both knowledge and understanding for a specific purpose. Wisdom involves two basic primary issues: right goals and the right way to achieve those goals. Now, maybe we could state it in a different way, but I think those two points, those two very basic points of the wise person, summarizes it in a great deal. Right goals, yet also achieving them in the right method, going after those right goals with a legal way, with right knowledge, right understanding, right accomplishment. Here's the point of how I can show you this. Satan has a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding of how facts go together to bring certain cause and effect into play, into existence. He knows that. He knows how to, we could even say, how to work the system. He has the knowledge and he has the understanding to do that. However, Satan does not have God's wisdom. He does not have God's direction. He does not have God's goals. And he does not have God's way of love. Satan simply uses what he knows and what he understands for his own purposes, for his own goals. Satan's wisdom is the way of me, me first, or get, as it could be simply stated. And to simply focus on me, to simply focus on self and what I want, is destructive. Only God's way of give, God's way of outgoing, God's way of taking care of others and build and increase and sustain in peace and in harmony, in unity, is the only way that's going to produce real, lasting quality wisdom. Wisdom is the way of giving, not the way of get. It is the goal of give. people grow in the way of wisdom. We don't just exist and therefore we get wisdom. We get smarter and smarter just because we've been around a long time. No, we grow in it. We grow in the way of wisdom. We go in that direction. It has to be something that is taught. It has to be something that is achieved. It has to be something that we're going after with real purpose. Just hanging around, being a human being, we are automatically going to go in the way of the fool. And to not go that direction, we have to be taught to go in the direction of the wise person. And there is a definite way of wisdom. It is not an instantaneous process. Wisdom does have a beginning. It does have a starting point. We begin to have wisdom and then we become wiser and wiser. You have to have the starting point in place. It has to be there. Now, with this in mind, what we've talked about up to this particular point, with this in mind, what would be some of the characteristics of a wise person? What would a wise person be doing or look like or accomplishing? What would a wise person, to put it in another way, would be, what would this wise person being taught by someone who loves them and someone who wants them to go in that direction? Because on our own, no person is going to go in that direction by themselves. They have to be taught this. You don't have to be taught to be a fool. We just be, and we're going to become a fool. So we have to be taught in the way of wisdom. A person who has only one wise behavior can be considered wise if it is the right behavior. You could have just one characteristic that demonstrates the quality and the characteristic of a wise person. If you have just one of these in place, you will be considered wise. What would that behavior be? Well, let's look at some of the characteristics. And I'm going to give the first one first. This is the one. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. It simply says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And brethren, please understand, this is where it starts. This is it. Please also understand this. The person who fears the Lord, and then that person who fears the Lord and adjusts his thinking and his feeling and his doing to go along with what that fear of the Lord is, a wise person. That's why I say, if you have this one behavior in place, you will be a wise person. Because simply put, if you have this one in place, the others are going to follow suit. Now, would that be saying that if the others don't really follow suit, do we have number one in place? Probably not. We may only be fooling ourselves and thinking we do. So this is an extremely important point. This is an extremely important point. And it makes no difference how young or how old a person is, no matter how long or how short a time the person has been in the church of God, how long they've been baptized. This one thing, fear of the Lord is wisdom. It's where it starts. It's where it begins. And if we don't have this one in place, we can't go on to the other characteristics. This fear of the Lord is so important that without it, no matter how much a person knows or how much a person understands, how much facts and figures that he can quote or she can quote and explain and all of this, he is truly not a wise person if he doesn't have this in place. Now, can a person explain a lot of information, have a lot of facts, and explain a lot of things without the fear of the Lord? Yes. That's still not wisdom. That's just information. It starts with the fear of the Lord. The other is just facts. Without this fear of the Lord in place, any wisdom a person seems to have is, at best, a clever counterfeit. To fear the Lord in a very simplistic way. I'm not giving a sermon today on fear of the Lord. This is just point number one of a characteristic of what a wise person is going to look like, where they're going to be heading. This fear of the Lord means to respect God. It means to have an awe, a deep respect and love for God, and to trust Him that He, that God knows what He is doing, even though you and I may not understand. Now that topic, fear of the Lord, is much greater than that, and I think most of you realize that. But we're not focusing on that, the characteristics of fear of the Lord. We're just stating you have to have that in place. That's another topic for another time. Please also understand this, brethren, that in fact, often obedience to God's commands comes from understanding, but it comes before the understanding. Did you get that? It comes before the understanding. That's what we're told over here in Psalms 111 and verse 10. That's what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Understanding, a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. So we can see, or we should see, the fear of the Lord means to be prejudiced toward God. We have to be prejudiced before God. God is right. We believe that, we trust that, we live our lives according to that. Even before we have all the facts, we prejudge God that God is right, and we then act accordingly toward that in everything else that we do. We start doing this first because we want to know who God is. We want to please God. We want to praise God. We want to worship God. We've come to the place God is, and therefore He has this right and all the things that pertain to that to declare what is right. So we come to the place and we openly admit that. We say, God is right, and whatever He says is right, and that's what I believe on it. And as we come to an understanding of this, we start doing. I mean, we understand that the Sabbath, that Saturday is the Sabbath before we completely understand it. People start tithing before they completely understand tithing. And I'll tell you how they know that's true. Because you cannot explain tithing, how it works mathematically with our mathematics today. It doesn't work. But it works. So if a person is going to come to the place, well, I'm going to start tithing as soon as I fully grasp and I can explain this, then you're never going to tithe. Because you can't use our mathematics to work that how you will have 100% of something and give 10% away, and then you have more than you had. We can't explain that. But we trust God, and we do things, and then the more we do, the more of an understanding of this we begin to comprehend. And that's part of all of this. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know the story. They were told to bow down and do this, and they went, no, we believe in that the eternal, He is God. And we're not going to do this. And they said, well, we're going to throw you in this fiery furnace. And they went, you know what? You can throw us in, and we can fry, and we can die, and you won't see us anymore. But God is still God. Now, what is that? Tell me how that figures in, how you can explain that in human terms with the human understanding. You don't. You do it with faith. You do it with fear of the Lord. God is right. I have prejudged that God is right in whatever He does. If He allows this to happen, hey, you know what? He's still God. He is still God. And that's the incredible thing, to come to that place and to trust our whole lives. Psalm 119 in verse 128. I use this verse quite often. I think many of you will recognize that I do. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every evil way. And you know, we can state that fact. We can state that with our heart, with our mind, with our whole being, and don't even know yet everything that is evil. We hate every evil way. Well, can you list all the evil ways? Of course not. But I hate them. I am prejudged that God is right. Whatever He says is evil, that's evil. That's what this is saying. Proverbs 21 and verse 30 says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. There is nothing that you can say that is right that is against God. That's part of this, having faith toward God, or fear of the Lord. You see, Satan has very little he can do to you or to me or toward us to trip us up when we have this attitude of fear of the Lord. When we have that attitude in place, or that behavior in place, fear of the Lord, when we have that in place, there's not a lot that he can trip us up over. Now, that's a wise person, to have that in place. It's the fool is tripped up because he doesn't have this behavior. He does not have this characteristic in his being, in this human's being, in himself. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Yes, even if we're thrown in the fiery furnace. They explain that with human terms, but it's a true statement. And that's fear of the Lord. And that's a wise person. So a wise person is one who fears the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, this one point is so important that we could probably finish the discussion about the wise man right here. This is the summation of wisdom. This is where it begins. And if you have this in place, you know what's going to happen? We're going to just keep going and becoming wiser and wiser and wiser. We could actually stop right here. But this point is so effective, if it is done, all the others will automatically follow. But, having said that, perhaps by knowing additional characteristics, it will help us to grow even faster in becoming wiser and wiser. In other words, if you come to the place that you hate every false way or every evil way because God hates them, so we hate them too, and we don't know all the evil ways, if you had a list of a bunch of evil ways that you would know what to avoid before you ever discovered them, but you had a list of them, you'd be further along, what I'm saying. Well, that's the same way some of these other characteristics are. It helps us to grow faster. So let's see some of these other characteristics of a wise person. A second point is a wise man has knowledge and increases it. He has a special knowledge and he has a special approach to that knowledge. Now, there is a lot of basically useless knowledge in this world. I mean, all you got to do is turn on television. You may repeat a lot of information we see on television, but a lot of that is just information, but it is useless in how to live God's way of life. The wise man knows what to learn, not just that he needs to learn, he also knows that he needs to understand and study what to learn. So what does he need to learn? Does he need to learn a lot of facts and figures and information and trivial information so he can go on Jeopardy? Well, you know, if that's a goal, it might be, but it's not necessarily the goal of a wise person. A wise man is one who loves and learns the law of God. That's what he's going to learn. And I mean by the word law, I'm not meaning just to be able to quote the Ten Commandments and to be able to do those things in that way. I am meaning law, the entire way of life of God, as it is explained here in this book. That's what I'm referring to as law, the entire way of life of God. That's what he's going to focus attention on. And a wise man has knowledge, and then he increases that knowledge. In Proverbs 10 and verse 14, a wise man lays up knowledge. Now the rest of that verse goes on and it says, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. You see this contrast here. A wise man lays up knowledge. And by the comparison, but a fool is one who is going to go on, and he's right at the point of destruction because of what knowledge he is learning, which is the other way. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, or increase knowledge. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. He knows a wise person is going to have knowledge, and they're going to work at increasing that knowledge, and they're going to know where to go to get the information. They're going to seek wise counsel. They're going to be studying the Word of God, and they're going to go to people that they know can help them understand this Word of God, the knowledge of God. So a wise man or a wise person does not just wait until he needs to learn a particular law or a particular principle or a particular Bible verse. He prepares ahead for when he will need it. He's going to be getting the information at the time when he doesn't necessarily know that he needs to have this, but he's going to be studying. He's going to be learning. He's going to be meditating on it. He is going to be going and asking and, you know, give me understanding of how I can increase the knowledge in this particular verse. How do I apply this in my life? Well, why are you asking about marriage and children when you're not married? Yes, but one day I will be. And I want the information now. I want to know how to be a good husband now. I want to know how to be a good father now. And if God blesses me with those blessings, then I'm going to have this information already started. That's a wise person. He has knowledge and he increases it. Why wait until we figure we need it? And that's what a wise person does. In other words, he is going to search out God's will on anything and everything that comes to his mind that he can. He tries to catch every word God says, and he tucks it away for future reference. That's what a wise person does. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, it says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. He doesn't find himself in a situation where he has sinned and then he goes to the Bible to find out what does he do about it. He hides the Word of God in his heart so that he will not sin. That's a person who has knowledge and increases it. He hides it within his heart. He tucks it away so he can use it for whenever the information is available. Tell you a story. There were these two ministers who were in a foreign country one time, and they were there doing some visiting with some people in the area, and they were staying in a motel, not really knowing any people there. And then one morning, one of these two ministers, real young, one of these ministers got up and he walked out, and you know, just to see some sights of the city very early in the morning. And he was standing still, and he was looking at a particular design of a building, and he was approached by a prostitute. And he didn't say, what should I do? In fact, what he did was, he started running. And he ran back to the motel. This is a true story. Ran back into the motel, opened the door, slammed the door behind him, leaning up against the door after he had locked it behind him, and he started saying, "Flee fornication, flee fornication." He was prepared. That's what it says. He had already put it in his heart. And if anything was ever going to happen, he was already prepared. This is a true story. A wise person is always looking ahead to the future to when he will need that knowledge and that information. A wise person is one that is always ready to hear the word of God. When God speaks, the wise person drops everything he is doing to hear what God has to say. I don't mean necessarily that he would physically drop everything. You know what I'm saying. But the principle is there. He wants to know. If God is speaking, he wants to hear it. He wants to pay attention. So when he starts hearing the word of God, and he hears the word of God even being explained, and it's used right out of the Bible, they want to hear it. They're going to drop everything. They're going to pay attention. They're going to listen to that. The wise man makes a conscious effort to remember. Maybe even going as far as, I'm not saying we have to do this, but there are people who do these kinds of things, perhaps even tying a string around his finger or writing himself a note on how to remember the way of life of God. I think many of us will realize that the Jews put a copy of the law, the Ten Commandments in this case, in a little box and attached that little box with the Ten Commandments inside to their doorpost. Now, sometimes they have changed this, altered this in some way by actually putting right on the inside the actual printed words, because there's so many ways of doing that. And so they actually just post it right on their doorpost inside their house. That is for the purpose of they're always having in front of them. Now, I do think that they simply got carried away with the act, but not necessarily the law. They wanted it in front of them, and they want to remember it. And I don't have any criticism of that, and I don't think any of us should. We need to have the Word of God right in front of us. A wise person is the one who learns the law with a wonderful, positive attitude. And again, I mean law, I'm extending it to the entire way of life of God. A wise person is one who is going to crave to know the knowledge of God. He is going to thrive on the knowledge and the information of God. And he is totally going to trust it. He loves it. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. They're going to live by that. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, I'm not going to read all of these verses, but we're going to read just kind of excerpts from some of them here. But in verse 1 it says, "Receive my words." And number 2 it says, "Hide my commandments with you." Number 3 it says, "If you cry after knowledge." Number 4 says, "Seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures." Number 5, verse 5, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We're going to receive the words. In other words, receive it means to be available to it. It's going to be made available to us, and we're going to have the ready mind, and we're going to have a heart to receive it. We're not going to, "Oh, I've heard this before." It's going to be this heart of wanting to hear it, wanting to receive it. Who knows? Yes, I've read this 20 times this past week. But I want to know. Maybe somebody's going to tell me things about it that I've not been able to receive before. But we receive it, and then we hide the commandments, and we cry after the knowledge, and we seek her as silver, and we search for her as hidden treasures. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Because the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, where do we have the mouth of God today? It's here. This is what he speaks to us today. This is where we get the knowledge and the understanding of God. It's out of his word. It's out of his word. There are probably, I'm going to say probably hundreds of other scriptures that will witness to illustrate this particular point, that a wise man has knowledge and increases it. And so that's point number two. Let's go on. Characteristic number three of a wise person is a wise man discerns time and judgment. A wise man discerns time and judgment. In other words, a wise man is a thinking person. A wise person is a thinking person. He does not put his mind in neutral. He has his mind geared up to hear the word of God anytime. You see, God is reproducing himself. But brethren, please also understand, it is going to be through a wise person, not a fool, not a scorner, not a simpleton, and not a sluggard. It is going to be through a vibrant, active mind. It's going to be through that of a wise person. The others are not going to get it. Somebody who has these other characteristics are not going to get it. They're not going to understand. And please get this. God never puts his mind in neutral. Why should we? He wants us to have the same kind of mind capacity he has, and that is a wise one, a wise mind. In fact, he tells us that. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, it tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This word, let, means allow it to happen. In other words, it can happen. We can have this wise, understanding, discerning mind because Jesus Christ did as a man, and we can also. And that's what he tells us, but he said, he didn't say, "I want you to have it. I wish you had it. I pray that you had it." He said, "Allow it to happen." Meaning it can. So if it doesn't happen, then why doesn't it happen? We've either got our mind in negative or we've got it in neutral as opposed to in positive toward the way God is. Let the mind of Jesus Christ be in you. That's what he says. So, to understand a little bit better this third characteristic of a wise person, a wise man discerns time and judgment, I want us to take a look at these three different words, discern or discerning, and then time and judgment. When we understand these words in this context, this point makes even more sense. So let's take a look at it. The first one is discern or discernment. First of all, discernment takes work. It takes thinking. Well, too many of us are already out of it because we don't like to think. We'd rather somebody else tell us and then we just accept it as opposed to going and looking and researching it on our own and digging it out. And that's a discerning person. And that's one of the characteristics of a wise person. They're going to go and look it up. Oh, they're going to hear it. They're going to hear what you say. They're going to want to know what you say. But they're still going to go and check it, and they're going to go look, and they're going to go to the source. They're not going to go to another person and say, "Can you explain this?" They're going to go and look it up, and they're going to look to the source, and the source is the Bible. And a discerning person is going to do that, and it takes a person who is actively observing. We can't be asleep. We can't be asleep and have this particular point of a wise person in place. Discerns time and judgment. We cannot do that unless we're awake. It takes analysis of what is then observed. And it takes a caring, tucking away of the facts for future comparisons. Discernment requires putting things together that go together. It takes putting things together that go together. It requires sorting things out on the basis of their differences. Wisdom requires sharpening our skills of observation, our skills of hearing, and our skills of discernment so that we can catch every subtle difference. That's what discerning will do. If I say Saturday is the Sabbath, you don't have to discern that. You already know it. Unless you're someone who does not know that Saturday is the Sabbath. Then you need to discern that. And that's where the wise person is going to go and check it out. And I'm just using this as a real simple illustration because, see, that's not discernment for you because you've already proven it. You know it. You understand it. You accept it. You live by it. And you can explain it to others. That's not discernment. Discernment is whenever we sort things out on the basis of their differences so that we can understand it, so that we can take that. It requires having insight. We need to remember, this is one main purpose of the book of Proverbs, is to have discernment, to have insight. And an important point here is that it can be taught and it can be learned, even by the very young. We can take little children and give them the ability to discern and to have insights by simply teaching them the book of Proverbs. So discernment takes work, thinking, acting observation, and tucking away facts for future comparisons. Now the second key word we're going to see this one is that the key word here is time. Now, normally when we think of time, we think about it as a system of measuring the speed at which certain things operate or certain things occur. It could be, what time is it? Well, that's the speed of something. I'm using it in that context. Or it could be runners are running 100 yards and somebody runs it in 10 seconds. We measure that, and that's how we think about time. Or church services last for 2 hours. That's how we typically think about it. But in this context, that a wise man has discernment of time and judgment. Time here, we need to understand another aspect of time. Time can also be brought to the point of a sequencing of events. The sequencing of events, the order in which they need to occur. We probably all heard someone say at one time or another, isn't it time to do this yet? Do I have to do this first? That's a sequencing of events. Ecclesiastes makes this very, very clear. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, and then verse 17. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. That's a sequencing of events. Number 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get or a time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. In verse 17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, and there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. The Revised Standard has it this way: He has appointed a time for every matter and for every work. Knowing or discerning the right time to do or not to do a particular thing requires an understanding of God's purpose. A wise person will have that in place. Proverbs 9 in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy, in other words, that which is set apart for God for His specific purpose, Holy One is holy, is understanding or insight. Key point number 3 is that of judgment. So a wise man discerns judgment. Judgment can only be based on the way of life of God. It is something else if it's based on anything other than the way of life of God, or the law of God, if you want to specifically use that term. It is the standard for all judgment, or it's something else. A person who wants to be wise and then neglects getting to know the law of God will never, and I mean never, be able to judge properly. So number 3 is a wise man discerns time and he discerns judgment. A fourth point of characteristic of a wise person: a wise man is humble, meek, teachable, able to be corrected or redirected. He is easy to be entreated. I have several proverbs here. I want to read just a couple of them, and I'll give you the others that you can write in your notes and look up. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom, or the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 13:1, only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. I have one more, I'll go ahead and read it to you. 17:10, a reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A reproof means you can simply speak the words. You back it up out of the Bible. And a wise person is going to discern that. A reproof, you correct them out of the Word of God, and they're going to be more humble and more teachable as a result of it than a person who is a fool and you beat him with 100 stripes. He's still not going to get it. Let's go on. Number 5. A wise person is not lazy, but is goal-directed, has drive, is persevering, and is resourceful. You can simply put in your notes here, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11, and it says, consider the ant. There's a whole lot of characteristics there that we're to see as a result of that. Ecclesiastes 9 in verse 10, 9 verse 10 says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's what a wise person is going to be doing. He's not lazy, but he's goal-directed. Number 6, a wise person roots out evil. Not going to let it stay. Because a wise person desires to and will become purer and purer. He is righteous as he lives what he learns, better all the time, purer all the time, closer and closer to modeling what God says in his standard, the Bible. Psalm 37 in verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom and his tongue talks of judgment. And I have one more verse under this, and that is 1 John 3, verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as God is pure. So number 6, a wise person is going to root out evil. Many, many other verses in regards to this one. You can study on these because, you know what? A wise person will. That's exactly what they will do. Number 7, a wise person is peaceful. In other words, he's going to seek peace and he's going to hold his peace. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Proverbs 3:17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Proverbs 11:12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Could there be contentions, you know, that we could stir it with our neighbors? Probably. As a wise person, are we going to do that? No. I'm not talking about if they stir it up with us. This is totally different. You've got to deal with certain things by the way they are. But we're not going to be the instigator. And that's what this is talking about. Number 8. A wise man is gentle, merciful, and generous. Proverbs 12:10. A righteous man knows the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You're going to go, what is this telling me? A wise man is gentle, he is merciful, and he's generous, even to his dumb animals. I mean dumb from the perspective of a human mind and an animal mind. A righteous man knows the life of his beast. He cares for him. He's going to be gentle toward him. He's going to be merciful. And he's going to be generous toward this animal. How much more so toward another fellow human being? Whereas the fool, even the tender mercies of the wicked, are really cruel in a comparative sense. That's what he's talking about. There's some characteristics that are really good as a parent to teach your children with this principle in mind. Since we had 2 daughters, we wanted to make sure that we had these 2 in place. You know, had these characteristics in place in them, and we taught them this. And it's in regards to a husband. There are 2 real important characteristics. These 2 questions that you ask your daughters to find out about a prospective husband. One is, how does he treat his mother? And the second one is, how does he treat animals? And those are very, very telling characteristics. And he said, if he's cruel to either one, tell him, I had a good time, but you go away. Until he changes and he grows and understands it, perhaps. But anyway, Proverbs 29:7. The righteous considers the cause of the poor. Remember, he's gentle, he's merciful, and he's generous. But the wicked regards not to even know it. They don't even find out about it, much less do anything about it. The righteous person or the wise person is going to take all of these things in consideration, and the righteous will consider the cause of the poor. If they can do something, they're going to do it. Number 9. A wise man is prudent, careful, and he gets wise counsel. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter end. Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Proverbs 29:11, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. Now, it doesn't mean he's not going to speak. It means he's going to get what he needs to get. He's going to know what he needs to know. He's going to be able to put it together and come to a wise decision. Number 10, a wise man is constructive and maintains what is created. A wise man grows strong in nature, in his character, in his nature, and becoming more like God. Proverbs 24:3, through knowledge is a house built, and by understanding it is established. The understanding is in God's way of life, and that's the basis by which you're going to build your house. A wise person will. 14:1, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with their hands. The wise person is going to be building it up. They're going to be, you know, constructive and building, and they're going to maintain what is there. And if it's in a family, they're going to be adding to, not destroying, not taking away. Number 11, a wise man is God-centered, God-directed, and God-willed. He is not self-centered, not self-directed, and not self-willed. He is not other people-centered, or other people-directed, or other people-willed. A wise man does not trust in his own heart. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. He is deceived, he doesn't know. Too many times it's because the fool is simply taken in by other people. By definition, the fool is one who has been deceived. Now, you can deceive yourself, but so many times it is by deception of others, and they're taken in where the wise person is not. Because they're not self-centered, they're not thinking about self, they're thinking about what is right, and they're doing those things. Proverbs 16, verse 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips, so that he will be able to say, to think, and to do, and to speak the right words. God describes four things in the earth that he considers to be wise. Yes, and we understand he created them this way, but they are there for us to learn from. In Proverbs 30, verse 24 through 28. There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Now, I'm not going to go through and read all of these, but you can go through it. But he talks about the ant, the coney, which is a rabbit, the locust, and the spider. And if you look at those things, you look at those things, what they do, that's each one of these have a wisdom in a certain area. And you study this, don't just read it, but you study this and you learn from it. And that's why I'm not going to even go through and read it. I'm asking you to study this, these four things. You may even go and read things about them to find out why God would be saying these are exceeding wise. And there are extremely good characteristics that they do that we as wise people need to be doing also. Now, let me give you what I would consider to be a Bible summary of the characteristics of a wise person compared to the wisdom of the world. It's over in the book of James, chapter 3. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. If there's a situation going on and there is confusion, just not having the information is not necessarily confusion. Once you get the information and there's no confusion, if there is confusion in it, it's not of God. There is confusion and every evil work. So where envying and strife is, there is confusion. Well, I'm not confused about this. Yes, they are. A person where there is envying and strife going on, there is confusion, or the Bible is wrong. It says there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Entreating here means willing to yield. It means open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. And the good fruits here is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's those things, those characteristics. A wise person comes down from above, is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality or without uncertainty. See, a wise person can know. You go to the Bible. You look it up. You see it. That's what it says. There is no uncertainty. And without hypocrisy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Major, major, major characteristics of a wise person right here. And one of the biggest characteristics that we keep seeing over and over is they're going to love peace. They're going to strive for peace. They're going to look at the Word of God to see how they can work it out in a peaceful way, in a gentle way, in a merciful way. And that's what the wise person is going to have. I hope studying some of these stereotypes is very helpful and very beneficial to each one of us. They've been based out of the Proverbs, of course, with a lot of other scriptures from a lot of other places. But I hope this has been very helpful to you. God wants us to be wise. We all can be wise because James says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. These characteristics that we've looked at will be in place. And God will give wisdom. And that's what we ask for.